Yes, and kia ora and good evening, everyone. Welcome to Major Daiko Last Day Events News. Yes, we don't like to just talk about the problems. We like to work them out. We like to work it out, look at what we're dealing with, come up with mitigation techniques and also solutions. Isn't that what it's really about? Hey, Sister Megan, Sister Karen, thank you, everyone, and all the brothers there. And as Heather says, all us sensible critical thinking people. I think that's a fitting description for most of us that are here, and probably aside from the New Zealand Security Intelligence Services and Police Intelligence section that'll be watching this tonight, because I'm such a terrible and horrible criminal. Can you believe that's possible, that I could say something that's tongue-in-cheek like that, but that there's actually some sort of basis in reality, that I am and you are probably regarded as potential domestic terrorists, to the point that at the sentencing trial, when it started talking about, when they were talking about bail for us, the prosecutor on behalf of the police was that afraid of me and Vinny? Was that afraid that she tried to say that there needed to be an insertion of a clause in our bail conditions that said we were not to encourage violence? What? Really? I mean, what? And she was genuinely, I saw the fear in her eyes of the police prosecutor, Kathy Finnegan. She was honestly like really concerned that I would start a violent campaign or a campaign for violence, etc. And I'm thinking to myself, do these people actually look at who the people are that they want to jail? Do they actually want to look at who the humans are? If there's one thing I want to say is that unless someone's involved in hardcore crime and gang crime and murder and big things that are easily dealt with, I think most people should have a chance to be looked into. But it didn't matter with me. It didn't matter that I had a service record to the country, to the community. Literally dozens of exemplary character references. It didn't matter that I had never been convicted. None of that mattered. But to see this woman hysterically ask the judge, you know, we need to have a condition in here that Billy doesn't encourage a campaign for violence. What planet do these people walk on? I don't think it's this one. And yet, even the judge went, no, I don't think we're going to need to put that in. And he looked at me and I looked at him like, look, you've just sentenced me to 4 months prison. Don't look at me for validation and congratulations that you haven't put such a ridiculous clause in my bail condition. The fact that I needed to have bail in the first place shows us that we're in big trouble in New Zealand. But we are incredibly in tough times in New Zealand. We're going to look at some of those today. But again, guys, we've got to have hope in us. My hope relies on the God of this Bible here, by the way. That's why I haven't bloomin' jumped off the Harbour Bridge, because it's been tough. The last 3 years have been tough on all of us, I know, but I tell you what, really tough on my whānau and I. And I thank God for his love, his care, his mercy. And I thank you for your encouragement. Honestly, I do, with all my heart. Life is very different for all of us, and certainly for me, since this began. I certainly didn't, as people try and accuse me of, even to this day, that I did it for fame. The judge himself, Judge Peter Winter, at my sentencing said, I did it for fame and notoriety. What planet, again, do these people live on? It's like they live in a different reality. It truly is exactly like that. Now, I don't wish any of those people harm. I certainly don't. It's not in my character, and even more so, never been in my character, but even more so that I am a converted Christian. And yet they live on this make-believe planet where if you speak up against them, you must be a domestic terrorist. Know the signs. Isn't that what Rebecca Kitteridge and the New Zealand SIS say? Know the signs. When you hear people criticise the government, you are to report on them. Isn't that what they say? Isn't that what the Know the Signs program is about now? It's a citizen informer program, like they had during the days of Nazi Germany and the Third Reich, in the days of the East German Stasi in communism. Isn't that what they have? It's exactly what they haven't had. So this is what we have in New Zealand now. But these worse things to consider along with these things as well. And one of the, I've been really struggling with one of the topics that we've got to talk about tonight. I have been really, really struggling with it because it is an absolute awful demonic topic I need to cover with you tonight. I wasn't going to do it. I've just been speaking about it on Telegram, on my Talk Tuesday Telegram. You guys should join that if you haven't already. Come and join my Telegram page. Join it and come and talk to me online. It's a great opportunity for us to talk, for me to hear your thoughts and feelings. But I spoke about this topic that I said, no, I don't think I should talk about it on my main show tonight. But I kind of think I have to, because this is what is coming to New Zealand. Now, what I do believe is that I believe there's a huge game afoot. Problem, reaction, solution. The Hegelian dialectic is at work here. It's at work here. And believe you me, those that think they're in the winner's circle right now on the left, doing all this gaslighting, cancel culture, woke culture, virtue signaling, tyranny, totalitarianism, transgender, sexualization of our children, all those who think they are in the winner's circle right now, you better wake up, because it's going to change and they're going to come for you. Don't worry, it happened to the Nazis themselves, amongst the party members, it happened to the communists themselves. After the Bolshevik Revolution, Lenin and Stalin got rid of millions of their people, millions of them. And so not just hundreds of thousands, millions of them. What did Mao do in China? Suppress the Chinese people? He got rid of millions of them too. So if they think they're on the winning in the winning circle right now, they may be right now, but it ain't going to always be like that. And they're going to need people like me and you to say, no, don't persecute these people. Leave them alone, because that's what we're going to... Do you realize that? Do you really realize that is what you may be called upon to do? Because it's either freedom for everybody or it's freedom for nobody, folks. That's the taki o te ra, o te itipo. That's the really the theme for tonight. Freedom for everybody or freedom for nobody, but especially our children. So can I please ask you tonight, if you have children nearby you during this broadcast, please either excuse yourself or send them out of the room, because one of the topics that we're going to be looking at tonight, and I probably should start with it so that we can get it out of the way, all right? But please, when I open up in the articles, I was just going to do my housekeeping in a second, please make sure that no children are near you for this segment, because it's about them, to do with them, but it's about pedophilia and it's about a program that's been accepted in the European Union, in France and the Netherlands, and boy, it's coming our way. It's where it's going. All right, let's do some of this housekeeping so we can get into the show. Now, don't forget this Thursday. Here we go. This Thursday is the Magic Dicol Health and Well and Your Wellbeing show. And I better put my camera on. That'll help me to see better as well. And we are going to be talking about all these neat things. This is the Metasoma gel that I use for my face, that you can use on your joints, absolutely natural, and you can get that. It's not, the show's not about that, it's just one of the things. This is my Nanosoma spray that I take four times a day now, and it's awesome. Builds up your immune system, teaches your cells how to do the right thing and to express out the pathogens and the nasty stuff in your blood system. But also we've got Sister Caroline Mansfield from the United Kingdom who will join us this Thursday night, so don't forget to tune in. We've got a very special guest with us from Photonic. We're going to talk about the EMF technology that they've got, the frequency technology, which is just beautiful stuff. And we're going to be talking about some of the things that are going on in the United Kingdom that Caroline wants to talk about, because whatever happens in the United Kingdom, in the UK, is going to be happening here, make no bones about that. Right, the other thing we've got to talk about is also the petition. I'll be talking about this a little bit more again. Now, in a few days' time, I'm going to be on the High Wire with Dale Bigtree and also on Dr. Rasha Patar's shows. And we are talking to some really big broadcasting channels as well to bring attention to our plight. There is no way, whichever way I look at this, that Vinny and I should be facing prison for what we did standing up for New Zealand. We had meetings today about this, and there's some awesome fighting to be done. But this should send chills off up everybody's spine, because this is not good. This could happen to any one of you, any one of us, for standing up for our rights and freedoms. And just again, I don't have any criminal convictions other than now. I don't. I respect the law. I believe in God's law, which is what the laws of men should uphold. And I've been a community and servant to my country most of my adult life while I've had my music career. And yep, none of that mattered. I still got my sentence, 4 months in prison. And so we need to fight that. And part of our fighting initiative is to sign a petition telling the government that this is wrong. So please, we are at 2,310. We need to get 10,000. So we've got a way to go. We've got 10,000 minimal that we need. I need your help to share the link, push this out, and tell people about it. And on that note, do you know I've not heard from one of the freedom organisations other than Freedom Alliance, New Zealand? Who else have I? No, I haven't heard from none of them. And that's why I don't trust these guys, because you know what? To be very honest with you, I was talking about it before on the Telegram show, that yeah, I've got I don't trust most of the freedom media. You got Peter Williams now making out he was you know the strong guy who left his job. Well, I think he'd pretty much got to his use by date in his media job. But when I spoke to him on his show, I gave him really good, clear, factual data. He was rude to me. And at the end, he cut me off and said, I've given you enough time to speak. And he basically hung up on me. Yep, that was only a couple of months before he left his job because he got silenced. Sean Plunkett, do you still believe him? Do you really? I think it might be a conspiracy nut job if you do. But I tell you what, this is my point I'm trying to make. My phone rung, and at the end of it was any one of these people. And they said, Billy, it's Peter Williams, Sean Plunkett, Winston Peters, Voices for Freedom, anyone, Counterspin here. And they said, Billy, you've had us wrong. You've had us wrong, and we'd like to help you in your petition. We'd like to help you with your fight. Please let us do that. You know what I would do? I would be the first on this platform to say, you know what, guys? I'd like to acknowledge that I was wrong, and that these people they're genuine. Because you know what? This thing with Vinny and I should be the very thing, the very catalyst to unite the New Zealand freedom movement, and it hasn't. This should be the moment where we go, shit, this is really happening. This is real. Our country is a regime. It's a totalitarian, authoritarian regime. We all need to work together. And my door is always open. It really, truly is to all of them. But no, the call hasn't happened. And people say, it's because you give them a hard time all the time. But you know what? The reason why I give them a hard time is that I don't believe they're genuine and they understand truly what's going on. The big problems that we need to be talking about, they don't talk about them. They're talking about all the superficial low-hanging fruit issues, but they're not going down into the root of the issues that we're dealing with. And and of course, you know, that gets me questioning the intent and motivation. But anyway, we need your help. It's always been about the people, hasn't it? He tangata, he tangata, he tangata. The people, the people, the people. All right, just here. The truth is coming. Big production meeting this morning. And boy, I tell you what, our co-director is working so hard on this. And I tell you guys, when she steps out of the shadows and I introduce you to her when we're doing a road trip, once we get the first episode done, boy, I tell you what, she needs lots of loves and hugs and cuddles, because she is really, really working her heart out. Don't forget, we've got these awesome t-shirts. Mine's in the wash, otherwise I'd be wearing it. River of Lies, come and get those. And also, if you want to support me in the work that I do, just even with something as simple as paying my electricity and my broadcasting bill, let alone my legal fees, that would be fantastic. I'd be so grateful. And truly, thank you to all of you that have managed to support me and my wife and my family. This is my job. This is not a grifting part-time thing. I live, I breathe this every day, all day, other than Sabbath and in between my work with my ministry. This is my job. And if you are able to, I'd appreciate your support. I really, really, really would. Now, talking about the visions, this is one of the things that I'd like to talk about here, because I found this today. Someone sent this to me, and I think they're absolutely bang on. Let's see if I can make that a bit bigger, eh? There we go. Let's see if that's going to work for us. All right. I think we're kind of right. We are all being played. Boy, are we what? Because, and this is why I take such a dim view of the freedom movement, because they don't talk about this stuff. Divide and conquer. If they keep us fighting with each other, we will never fight the true enemy, the establishment. Isn't that true? Divide and conquer mechanism. It's identity politics of the left, is it not? Of the woke identity, cancel culture, gaslighting culture that we live in. You're divided on religion, on skin, class, nationality, language, customs, sexual preference, profession, political identity. That's how they've done it. They know how to keep us divided. And that is why, you know what, I was looking at one of the organizations, the freedom, so-called freedom organizations today. I actually went onto their website and had a look through it. And you know what? All through the website, it's like, you are not allowed to do this. You are not allowed to use our banners here. You are not allowed to use our posters here. If you go there, you're going to be in trouble. We are not supporting this. You're not allowed to go. You're not. And it's meant to be a freedom movement? Isn't that the opposite to freedom? I think it is, isn't it? I really do. I really do think it is the opposite to freedom. Or at least I think it is. But anyway, guys, I do want to go into this article now. And want to ask you, please, if it be possible, if you could please excuse the children in your company, I'd be very, very grateful. It means I'll be able to start this part of the presentation off and present it to you. But I cannot do it. If you've got children handy to where you are, there is no way that I'm going to be able to do this. So can you please do that? I'm going to count down to 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. If you can please ensure that no children are present for this part of the presentation, it'll only be for about 5 minutes, please excuse them now. Please do that. I'd be very, very grateful. Thank you very much. People are saying that they're doing that here. All right. So this here is about the overall global approach to pedophilia. Now, don't forget, we now have that title, Minor Attracted Persons. Minor Attracted Persons. Now, this has been spoken about at the highest levels of organizations all around the world, whether it be the WEF, whether it be in EU environs, whether it be in the UN. Don't forget, in the UN, it's a part of the Conventions for the Rights of Children around their human rights, that they have right to their sexuality from the age of 4 years onwards. What? All right. Okay. We know that's wrong. We know it's called pedophilia. We know that's called grooming. We know that's ugly. It's awful. It's insane. Now, this particular article here is one that I had sent to me by Sister Caroline Mansfield. She's horrified, as we all will be when you see this. And we should be worried, because the bottom line is this. Is that the spirit and the philosophy that allows this to happen in Paris and France is permeated through the New Zealand government. It's permeated through the New Zealand government and all the other woke governments around the world. So once again, this is not for children to be around. This is for adults' eyes and ears only. And if you wish to not look at this, then please... just come, you know, turn it off for a second and come back to us. But I want you guys, the reason why I feel compelled to share this is I'll connect it to the other articles that we're going to look at, and you'll know why, because we've got to be on guard. And then I'll explain what they're doing with this, why they are using such an extreme form of operation like this against people, and then it'll all start to make sense. Anyway, I'm going to hit play, and yep, deep breath, folks. Here we go. Brave man, by the way, this man.
This is John Lockland. I'm the director of FVD International. I'm speaking to you from the Palais de Tokyo in Paris. Behind me, you can see an exhibition space. I'm not allowed to film in there. I started to film, and the guards told me I had to stop. The reason is that there's a painting in there which shows two children with their hands tied behind their backs being forced to perform oral sex on a grown man. It's an example of the banalization of paedophilia. The French judicial authorities have recently said that this painting should stay, even though an appeal was made against the museum by an organization defending the rights of children. In the name of free expression, therefore, something is now hanging in the public space in Paris, which is designed to banalize the worst forms of sadistic paedophile pornography. FVD demands that this stop, both in the Netherlands, both in France, and indeed all across the world.
All right, that's all I'm going to show that. These other things that I can share with you, but that's as far as I'm prepared to go. This is beyond a joke. This is not funny. This is... Look, when you boil it down, I was talking about this with Sister Tiamata Williams the other day, and this whole trans agenda in the libraries being spouted out in schools is another way of opening the door to pedophilia, period. Period. It's another way to open the door to pedophilia. And the only way that this is possible is if the good people of New Zealand allow it, because this is coming. Now, you know what? We've got a... Welcome, Peter. It's the first time I've seen your profile. Welcome. And he says, this is how they train the masses to acquiesce. That's exactly correct. So it becomes a virtue signaling thing when you say, no, they're not pedophiles, they're minor attracted people. No way. No way. I tell you what, I'm a Christian man, I'm a peace ambassador, I'm anti-violence, but you do that to a kid near me, and I tell you what, that's something I'd go to jail for, defending and protecting kids from that, because that's demonic of epic proportions. Jesus wouldn't have tolerated it, tell you that. He would have, you know, don't forget, Jesus was beautiful, he was soft, he was gentle, loved everybody, but when he was in his father's house and he overturned the tables of the money changers, you saw another part of the Lord, and these people are going to get what's coming to them. But this is what is present in New Zealand. Don't forget that we have the most rainbow government on the planet here. Now, I want to get something else straight here too, because I've got some rainbow community friends that I know, two of them, and they are not pedophiles. They are not trans people. They are not into any of that. They're homosexual. That's their lifestyle choice, and you know my position on that. Certainly don't support that as a lifestyle choice. Doesn't mean I can't be friends with people involved with that. Doesn't mean I can't love them. Doesn't mean you can't love them and be friends with people. We're all people, and we've all got one thing or another that we have to deal with. But this pedophilia thing, we better get clear in our heads what this thing means when they have 6'4" men walking into libraries, you know, doing grinding and this whole thing. You know, why do kids need to be subjected to it? Well, even this, guys, can you believe this? There is a scandal that is involving the Dalai Lama of all people. Well, I guess if it can happen in churches, it can surely happen here in the Buddhist area. That's for sure. And it has. We've got examples of gurus, Eastern gurus, that are in trouble big time. Sai Baba had multiple sex cases brought against him. And so the Dalai Lama has issued an apology after a video showing him asking a child to suck his tongue sparked outrage online. I'm sorry, what? Oh, my Ringrush is not very good. That guy can speak beautiful English. He knows what he's saying. A video clip has been circulating that shows a recent meeting when a young boy asked His Holiness the Dalai Lama if he could give him a hug, said the office for the Dalai Lama on Monday. His Holiness wishes to apologize to the boy and his family, as well as his many friends across the world, for the hurt his words may have caused. His Holiness often teases people he meets in an innocent and playful way, even in public before cameras. He regrets the incident. He regrets the incident. Saying to a kid, suck my tongue? Really? Is that really just an incident? Okay. That's article one. Here's another one. Now, this is the thing that we're dealing with. What did we deal with 3 weeks ago now? We dealt with the violent trans activism. Now, again, I'm going to say it yet again. It's freedom for everyone or it's freedom for no one. I would protect and demand the freedom of the trans activists to be able to protest their cause. Absolutely. Of course I would. Freedom for everyone, freedom for no one. But they will not tolerate freedom for you if you don't go along with their narrative. If you don't say that a man with a penis and testicles, if you don't say that he's not a woman, then you're a bigot. If you don't say he can have a baby, you're a bigot. You're a bigot. And if you say that, then they're going to come for you. They're going to either go for you, and don't forget what I covered last night's show. The New Zealand police waited till the very, very last second before they intervened to protect Posey Parker, Kelly J. Minshall. Very last second, and yet the police put out a press statement saying they now want the trans activist community or the trans community to report any violence of any kind towards them, aimed at them, if they feel threatened or if they have people being horrible and nasty to them. To ring the police and let them know, and the police will be onto it. They'll get onto them. Don't you worry. They'll be around to sort you out. The thought police will be there to condemn you. Probably, it just dawned on me. Is what I'm saying hate? No, it's not. It's a cautionary tale. I don't want any violence or any hatred on anyone. But we need to be aware, and it's by keeping silent, we're actually helping the enemy of souls. But there's another trick to this that I'll talk about in a second once we look at these articles. But have a look at this. This guy here is getting pretty famous, but this here, in my book, pretty well sums up the spirit of what we're dealing with. Have a look at this.
Narcissism even more. Watch this video.
Let me tell you something about LGBTQ rights, about trans rights. This is only going in one direction. You will respect us. You can be upset. You can be angry. You can think it's unfair. You can feel like we're stealing something from you. But it's still only going in one direction. You will respect us.
All right. So this is this man. This is this man who's asking the rest of humanity to respect him, to validate him. But look at him. This is a man trying to appear as a non-binary human who is threatening you. If you don't believe it, have a look at his eyes. His eyes communicate everything. He's threatening everybody, saying, if you don't like it, better get over it. It's going in one direction. You will respect us. Now, that's what they say in totalitarian societies. You will do as you are told. You will jump into line. You will be silenced unless you say what we want you to say. You will not protest when we say you can't protest. And that, to me, the way he talks there, makes it impossible for anyone to, in good faith, respect him. If he had turned out and said, hi, my name is Jeffrey, that's his name, Jeffrey Marsh, I'm a transgender person, I don't mean you any harm, I want to get on with my life, I want to be able to walk around and not feel like there's any danger of me getting my head beaten in, I want to be left alone, I want to love who I want to love, and I want to get on with my life, I promise I won't overreach and hurt you and reach into your life, but leave me alone to mine. If he had said that, I'd go, damn straight, Jeff, I'm right behind, well, I'm not going to say I'm right behind you, that could be the wrong thing to say. I'm going to say, I stand beside you and I support what you say. And I would, because, you know, most of humanity, you know, we should respect and love each other. But the way he puts this, the way he acts and operates here, is exactly like Chenille Lal. saying that that young New Zealander of the year, the transactivist, saying he's frightened with Posey Parker coming to New Zealand because of the violence that may come of it. There was plenty of violence, but it came from him and his crew. And this is the great twisting that we are involved with now. It's desperate. Now, how many of you, let's be honest here, most of us are going to have children, nieces or nephews, or grandchildren. I've got all of that. And so I care for young children. I care for kids. I care for people, but I care for kids. But how many of you have had what they call it, Coco Flash Rainbow Storytelling Roadshow come to your libraries or your schools nearby? How many of you bothered to go and protest in a peaceful, organized way? Did anyone? Okay, I wanted to, but I live 2 hours away from my nearest library. But all across New Zealand, right now, we have got the National Rainbow Storytelling Tour, which is Coco and Erica Flash traveling the length and width of this country, speaking to kids about inclusion, diversity, or those great buzz woke words, where they want to make you believe that there is a virtue signaling benefit in us being inclusive and being diverse. I believe, in fact, part of me believes that too. We should be inclusive. We're all brothers and sisters. We should be like that. But that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about normalizing a very unnormal lifestyle choice. Now, less than 2% of New Zealanders in the rainbow community, and a very small percentage of that community is transgender. Yet you've got the transgender tail wagging the dog, don't you? Well, here's a really neat lady here, American lady, and she's gone to her school. I've shown this before. This is a few months old, but she went to her school to speak about the school allowing this type of behavior to occur, where transgender or drag queens can go into schools, public libraries, and do shows and read materials and, you know, have story time about the blue pen that wants to turn into a pink pen. Okay, you get the drift? Have a listen to her. She's awesome, this lady.
I just want to know what it is that makes a drag show family friendly, because if you follow it to its logical conclusion, you can slap family-friendly titles on anything. You can have family-friendly gentlemen's clubs, family-friendly strip shows, family-friendly 50 Shades of Grey read-alouds. Will you approve my flyer if I want to host in all the sex secrets of the Kama Sutra for kids and families, if it's family-friendly? That's my question.
Wow.
What is it about a grown man, and I honestly, sincerely, as a woman, mean this, what is it about a grown man costumed in a sparkly bra with augmented boobs busting out, a leather miniskirt barely covering his twerking ass with tuck tape on his front while spreading his fishnetted legs as he writhes on the ground, grinding his groin next to a minor, family friendly? You owe us an answer.
No.
And you know, you don't get to hide by just taking something down off Peachtree and calling it a day. You owe an explanation and an apology to everyone.
And she's absolutely correct, isn't she? And she's not losing her rag. She's not being uncontrollable. She's just speaking some home truths. Now, in my Telegram chat show today, I had Diana ring up from Tauranga. She did go to the to the local library and said, "Look, have you guys had these drag queen shows in here?" And the person said, "Yes, we have." And then, "Can I speak to the manager, please?" "Yes, no problem." They went and got the manager. This is the Tauranga Library, which is a part of council, of course. And the manager comes up and says, "Well, yeah, we've had that, and, you know, bloody, bloody, blah." And so this Diana said to this female manager, "Well, look, you know, this is not right. This is not right." And she said, "Would you like to make a complaint?" And Diana said, "Yes, I would like to make a complaint." So the woman gave her a form. And she said that there were another 6 women standing there, and they all looked at her like she had an extra head. Isn't it the funniest thing? You have women who can't recognize that their own womanhood is somehow up for trade. Isn't it weird that? I don't get that. I really don't get that. Women's suffrage in New Zealand, and now we've got women that are prepared to just throw away their womanhood. It's staggering. But anyway, so Diana continues and said that she said, look, you know, this is not right. It's not good. Bloody, bloody, blah. So what I said to Diana is that what we need to do is that we all need to go into our council and we need to take in a petition saying that if you pay rates and taxes, that you go in there and say you don't want your money being used to fund these drag queens to come in and have story time about inclusivity. Look, I don't mind that. Why don't they just turn up as Bob and John, dressed as Bob and John, and just talk to kids about things? And talk about, in general, being accepting of people. But it's not just that, is it? This is about an ideology that they want to permeate out there so that your kids can get ensconced in it and become confused about life, poor things. And I've been looking at material because I'm really wanting to understand the ideology of this agenda, where they teach that that it's a matter of human rights for an eight-year-old kid to decide if they want to transition and, you know, be castrated at, chemically castrated, or receive a double mastectomy at 13, 14, 15. Lifelong decisions made by kids that aren't mature enough to drive, drink alcohol, be married, and yet they're allowing, you know, kids to be manipulated by gender affirmation counsellors who say, oh, little Henry, yeah, you're a little bit confused. You are Henrietta. You go, girl. Let's get you on some puberty blockers. Let's start looking at how to transition you from Henry to Henrietta, because that's what they're doing now. And this whole transgender, pedophilia, sexualization of children, I'm sorry to say, it's one and the same issue. Really one and the same issue. And we've got, you know, globally, it's happening everywhere. And this is really strange. This is, of course, Dylan Mulvaney, who's gained worldwide attention. This is, of course, Sky News Australia doing it good. I just want to look at this because I want to kind of make a point here.
Absurd as far as a corporate endorsement goes.
It's a she-they outfit of the day.
Comes the bride.
Oh, wow.
I'm getting a little emotional. Growing up, I never thought I'd be able to get married, let alone wear a wedding dress.
Can you believe it? So all the little girls on the planet just had their dreams hijacked. Really, because it's now been gone through this, you know, metamorphical type reapplication of the dreams of all little girls to wear beautiful dresses and look beautiful. That's not that. So a little girl's going to see that and go, and I don't think I'm drawing a long bow here. A little girl's going to see that and go, ew, I don't want to be that. Because you know what? They probably do want to be that, but not that version of that, if you know what I mean. Isn't it unbelievable? But the thing is that disturbs me is that you are not seeing both sides of the argument. The media won't do it. They won't interview all the thousands of young people, thousands of adults that went through transitioning young that now regret it, like young Jazz, that boy Jazz who transitioned when he was, what, about 8 years old? Now he's a broken adult. Now he's a disturbed young human, poor soul. And he says he just doesn't feel like he's himself. He doesn't know who he is, and he just doesn't feel right in his own skin. Why? Because his testicles and penis have been tucked up inside his body. That's why. He's been castrated. He's been through all this. And his mother is, you know, inflicted this type of decision-making on a young boy. And now this poor kid, Jazz, bless his soul, poor kid. You know, he's a wreck. I was watching his show the other day, and the poor kid's in big problems, big problems. And and no, JH, you wouldn't look like a very good I don't imagine you turning up in fishnets there, JH. But anyway, you get my point. You get my point that I'm saying here is that, you know, if adults, when they're adults, want to choose to live this lifestyle and make these type of decisions, then that's their right as adults to make that decision, isn't it, right? They want to do that, that's up to them and between them and God, not up to you and I to judge. But it's the children, it's the babies that I'm concerned about here. I want to play a bit of this before I move on to the last group of articles that I want to show you guys. This is from Matt Walsh. I'm quite a big Matt Walsh fan, actually. And this is from one of his latest YouTube posts. It's a couple of months old, but it's really important because he blows away this guy here who's saying, he's talking about quoting all the studies about the effects of transitioning young people. But listen to the argument that Matt puts forward that just destroys this guy. Have a listen.
Misrepresent the recent burgeoning medical and behavioral literature that demonstrates that gender-affirming care and meds and similar medical
gender-affirming care
demonstrate consistent improvements to mental health, suicidality, and general well-being.
Which study are those?
There are probably like 30 studies by this point, all produced in the last like 10 years or so. Anybody can look them up on...
Okay, well, just here's the problem. Med. Here's the problem. I'm not impressed by just you saying a study,
no,
okay?
Because studies.
Fine. Well, there could be 100 studies. There could be 1,000 studies.
Them.
Great, yeah. And I have read them. Have you?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So here's... I'll give you one example. I don't know if you can give me any examples, but I'll give you one example of a recent study that and this was just in the headlines. It said that... it proved that double mastectomies for minor girls improves their well-being. And this was a study, and it was proven, peer-reviewed. Then you read how they actually conducted this study, and you find out that they interviewed a very small selection of girls in one region of the country, all from the same socioeconomic background, and they did their follow-up, I think it was 3 months later. And based on a follow-up a few months later, they've determined that, oh, yeah, it improves well-being. You see the problem here? No,
yes,
this
is the exception to the rule. Many
I don't think it is.
Use observational data with various follow-up from, like, 6 months to 5 years to 10 years, and they don't demonstrate what you claim.
Well, I just you can say the word study, but what I'm saying
you
is when
look
you
look them up.
Okay, great.
Like,
great.
You can Google them.
Yeah, and so can you. It sounds like you have it.
I've done it a good bit.
Oh, you've done it a good bit. Okay, all right. Well, I just gave you
transgender health, PubMed, NIH, gender affirming care, and I mean it's
okay.
It's just
let me ask you.
Anybody can look at this.
What's your name?
Jacob.
Jacob, let me ask you this. How do you think they would have large-scale, long-term studies about the effects of these drugs and these surgeries on children when we only started doing it to children at a large scale a few years ago? So how could that even exist?
Yeah, I think scale is probably one of the more prevalent challenges of these studies.
Okay, so we're already hearing that there are challenges in these studies.
Yeah, every study has challenges. Like, any scientific truth, like all of the scientific truth that we take for granted today, they're built on methodologies that fundamentally have flaws. Like, if you want to make a specific critique, you can do that. If you're talking about Well, if you're talking about sample size, there are very well-demonstrated statistical results that you don't need 10,000 people to get, like, a statistically significant value.
Yes, you do.
Absolutely not. It's like a very basic statistical
Jacob.
Fact.
Jacob.
A sample size greater than 1,000, that can that has very nice asymptotic properties.
Jacob, here's what I know. If you want to even begin to claim that a study has proven that castrating and sterilizing little boys helps them in the long run, then you would need to have a large sample size of children who've gone through these procedures, and we've checked back with them in adulthood to see how they're doing. Those studies do not exist. They can't exist because we weren't doing this to kids at anywhere near this scale even 5 years ago, let alone 10 years ago. What that tells us, Jacob, is that the kids we have right now, they are the sample.
Yep.
Actually,
okay, they
the
are
case.
The experiment.
There's a specific study.
We are experimenting on children right now.
That's just demonstrably, you can easily demonstrate that that's not the
and
case.
And are you, Jacob, are you able to just use your common sense as well? I mean, you can rely on studies and you could just shout the word study at me and then start...
No, I'm not...
You can start, let me finish.
Sorry.
You can shout about studies and list random medical organizations. That doesn't impress me. There was a time when every medical organization would have told you that, you know, bloodletting is the way to cure every disease. There was a time when every medical organization told you that the vaccine, you know, stopped transmission. So, but
there you go.
Here's what I want to know. Are we able to just use common sense as well? And based on common sense, determine that it is certainly not a good idea to sterilize and castrate children and remove body parts from children before they are possibly old enough to consent to those procedures. Can't we just, don't we know that just based on basic moral decency and common sense?
Sure, but you're trying to make...
See, there's no argument there. So good on Matt. Matt Walsh there. I love his style. He's so calm. He's got the data. He's got the facts. And that's why these activists become violent, because they can't win on the basis of an honest debate and an honest dialogue. That's why they don't want to do that. That's why they will not. I have asked the Stuff chief reporter, Mark Stevens. I've asked him to debate me maybe 3 or 4 times now. I've asked to interview him and his team to be interviewed for the documentary. And I've said to them, come on, pick the best of your people. Let's debate this. Let's debate the whole thing. Let's debate the COVID issue. Let's debate the freedom and rights issue. Let's debate climate change. Let's debate all these things that they stand up and use their government-funded platform to propagandize and then attack anyone else who disagrees with them. But it's almost like these types of media people remind me of that person with the microphone singing the song that won't let anyone take the microphone off them to sing as well. It's exactly like that. That's the musician's analogy, I guess. But isn't that true? Isn't that what we're seeing here? You see this man trying to argue from a position that doesn't have the solid ground. And Matt's just saying, look, well, number one, the only way that you can do a survey and a paper and a study and a research paper like this is by surveying a big group of adults that were transitioned when they were kids to see how they're going 15 years later. Then you might be able to get the extrapolate the data that you need to do that, but it doesn't exist. And if we look at that young guy Jazz, the poor guy I feel sorry for the kid. He looks like a really lovely kid, but he's stuffed up, and his mother and father should be criminalized for it. And he's going, there's something wrong with me. I'm not myself. I don't feel right. I don't feel like I'm. I don't know who I am. The thing is, the poor fella's walking around, and he's got his male genitalia taken off him and pushed up into his body, and it shows his mother talking about on his show that that Jazz needed to keep it lubricated. Otherwise, he's going to lose his hole. You know, this is the mindset. But the thing I love about Matt Walsh, he's saying, "Well, look, okay, put all of the rational data on how to construct a survey like the one they're talking about. Put that aside, and can we just apply our logic, our common sense, and moral decency to agree that a child should not make a decision." About this such an important issue, and that nobody should be castrating children and transitioning them. Now, to all of you out there, I pretty much pray that are watching this would say, well, yeah, of course, that's logic and common sense and decent thing to do. But did you notice that guy tried to argue the point with Matt? Even after that, it's because they can't, they just won't stop, will they? They can't stop. All right, so that's my point there, guys. On that particular subject, I've got a few other articles that I want to quickly go over with you now that are really important for us. But, you know, we've got to be careful. It's coming, it's here, and it's getting it's promising to get worse. But this is the dialectic, Hegelian dialectic, that's working out here, is that at the moment it's swung hard to the left. We are godless. New Zealand is not a Christian nation anymore. We are a godless nation. We are woke, cancel culture, gaslighting. We are communist. We are socialist. And we are fascist in New Zealand. That's what we are today. It's exactly what we are. And I've been saying it since 2020. Nothing's changed. I've been saying the same things. And this is who we are today. But what is it going to happen? How is it going to happen? And what will happen to all those that are on the far left? What will happen to them when it swings to the far right? Because it's the pendulum. It's the pendulum. It's the game. It's the pendulum. Problem, reaction, solution, Hegelian dialectic at work here. And what's going to happen is it's going to swing from the hard left to the hard right. It's going to do it. Mark my words, watch me. Watch me today. What is the date today? 11th of April. Mark my words, it's going to swing to the right. And when it does, you're going to get an extreme Christian conservatism, and that will be equally as totalitarian as this side here. And we're going to have problems on that side. I'm going to have problems with it. As a Christian, I'm going to have problems with it. They're going to go for people like me, and they're going to go for people like you who don't want to go into their system. So all that's going to happen is that they'll do a high five on the way out, swap over, and it's going to come from the right. And that's why Chris Luxon is a Trojan horse. He may not look like the horse, but he is a Trojan horse. He is a Trojan horse. Now, what about this article here? Chris Luxon. Luxon keen to remind farmers. Luxon keen to remind farmers National is there for them. Do you believe that, farmers? I don't. Because if he was really there for farmers, what would he do? He'd say, right, we're going to get rid of the significant natural areas. That's gone. We'll get rid of Three Waters. That's gone. We'll get rid of the carbon emissions trading scheme. That's gone. We'll come up with a New Zealand program based on New Zealand needs and wants. We'll get rid of the compliance and regulations that are killing and suffocating family-owned farming businesses across New Zealand. And we will recheck the current laws for dairy, and we'll reverse them back to where they were probably 5-10 years ago. That would be the best way to do it. But he won't do that. He won't do that. Chris Luxon is a fake. There's no left and right. That's the game. It's the game. And we all throw our arms up and go, bugger it. You know, we're sick of Labour. Even Labour supporters are sick of, everyone's sick of Labour. We're all sick of them. So what do? We vote the blue team in, and then they do the same thing, but coming from the other direction, the other perspective. Still achieve the same outcome. In fact, if you remember, I was protesting against John Key and the national government, and then it went from the right to the left, and I was protesting against this leftist government, and now it's going to go back to the right, and then they're going to do all the same thing. And each time they do it, they move a step closer to the ultimate goal of control. That's what they're going to do. But what about this article here? And this is why I wanted to start with this farming report this way, because this is what they're wanting to do in New Zealand. They're wanting to put mRNA into our New Zealand cattle and beef and our dairy. Yep, that's what they're wanting to do. The Chinese have already done it. Let's look at this. This is from Dr. McCulloch. The Chinese successfully loaded cow's milk with mRNA, and it was absorbed into the GI tract of recipients. Concerns about surreptitious insertion of mRNA into food are valid, must be stopped. And yet, that's what's happening in New Zealand right now. Down in Timaru, they're building all sorts of plants and getting it all sort of sorted to be able to turn New Zealand's cattle agricultural sector into a shadow of its former self. This is going to mean a lot of people aren't going to want to do this. What are they going to do? They're going to leave the sector, aren't they? What about this one here? More health jobs added to fast track residency scheme. But who wants to come to New Zealand? Nobody wants to come to New Zealand. Nobody with a brain wants to come to New Zealand. I interviewed a beautiful nurse and her family, beautiful family, that immigrated here from the UK to work in a elderly home care residential facility. And she ended up getting mandated out of her job 6 months into her job after relocating back to New Zealand, and then had to live in a closed down lockdown environment just after getting here and losing her job. And she's told everyone, and I don't blame her, who would want to come? There's nothing here for anyone anymore. I don't want to be here, and I love my country. I don't want to be in New Zealand. I would love to be anywhere else, maybe except China, parts of Africa. I'd rather be anywhere else than here in New Zealand, and I really mean that. This country's different. It's changed, and it's just a reflection of the world. So Christopher Luxon, unless he comes out and says, well, you know, you're right, we need to, you know, we need to get out of all these things. We do. We need to get out of all these things. But he hasn't yet, has he? Do you think he's going to? No, I don't think he's going to. All right, what about this? What about this today? Let's go into the COVID area, shall we? Let's have a little look through here. Right, COVID-19, 12,129 new cases reported in the past week. 219 of those are in hospital. All right, fair enough, 219 of them in hospital, which is about right for the flu. And that goes through this. And may I point out that, don't forget, they locked New Zealand down when Vinny and I protested. Don't forget, they locked New Zealand down over one case. One case. And then they locked New Zealand down, and then we had hundreds of suicides again. That's why I was protesting. So 12,129 new cases. Oh, just 12,000 cases. Wow. We just keep going, don't we? No one worries about it. We all move along and keep going. But look at what they write here. This is the drivel that stuff write. Listen to this. One more to go down here. Bring that up there. All right, here we go. As of midnight on Sunday, 219 people were in hospital with COVID-19, seven of whom were in an intensive care or high dependency care unit. But listen to this. The ministry reported 30 deaths, really? In the past 7 days, really? Really? Now, if they use the same standard of assessment and valuation of these deaths as they do with COVID-19 vaccine deaths, then none of these would be deaths. But at least you got a hint at the stuff. At least they did this part. 8 could be attributed to COVID-19. Attributed. So this is where you get into that argument. Is it people that have died from or with COVID? So they're not being too honest there with us. But they're saying 8 could be attributed to COVID-19. 7 were determined not to be COVID-19. Okay. That leaves 23 out of 30. And the cause of death was not available in 15 cases. So we've got a pickle here. 15 of them aren't got anything to do with COVID, yet they're listed as COVID-19 deaths. We've got a problem here, haven't we? So it just goes through here. But one thing that's glaringly obvious is that we're having these massive cases and we're not seeing the deaths. Okay, now here's the confusion of the media. You've got this interesting looking fellow. I bet he's English. No, by the way, nothing against English people. We've got Auntie Barb watching this, and she's English. We've got lots of English family. So now a good time as any to lift COVID-19 isolation rules, says the expert. Radio New Zealand says. Yep. And then what happens? Radio New Zealand roll out another expert who says, well, no, we shouldn't lock down. Michael Baker again, the same guy that was getting paid all through the pandemic lockdown, so-called, that weren't pandemics. That wasn't a pandemic. You know, that he was getting paid, telling everyone to stay home and not work and give everything up, team of 5 million. But he wasn't giving anything up. He was in the paper every day, getting quoted, still getting his money, and his Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation funding for his Otago University employer. And so you got this guy saying, no, we shouldn't. There he is. He's a nut job, this guy. He is of the highest order of nut jobs that we've got in our bureaucracy in New Zealand, and we follow them, unfortunately. He's a real, true nut job, this guy. He's very unwell. I feel very, very, very sad for him and concerned for him. But he's saying, no, we're going to have, 1,000 deaths this year, And what did we, how many deaths of flu did we have in 2019? About 800, wasn't it? Or 1,000, something like that? Yeah, we did. Caused 10,000 hospitalizations? No. Well, we're in, what month are we in now? We're in March. April, fourth month. 213 Kiwis in the hospital at the moment. Probably for the month. So he's a long way behind, isn't he? Aren't we hearing the same sort of thing as the 80,000 deaths that we're going to get? Here he is again. See, they all cover him. He's the expert, guys. Weirdo, strange little man. Lock you all down, wear your masks, keep you locked down, lose your human rights for a flu equivalent. I'd love to know more about his funding background. Oh, we might just have a bit of information in our documentary. I think we do. So over here we've got government to consider whether to relax restrictions, right? Cabinet ministers will today consider whether to relax the few remaining COVID-19 restrictions. Now, keep in mind and don't forget that almost every other Western country in the world has got rid of their COVID restrictions of every kind. It doesn't mean it's all good and going back to normal. That's never going to happen. No way. No way. But everyone else has changed their COVID-19 restrictions. And so you've got the two epidemiologists having a war in the media, same newspaper, one saying, lift up the restrictions, do it now. You're going to do it anyway, do it now. I agree with them. And you got Michael Baker saying, no, don't do that. Don't do that. And then what do you have? Then you've got Chris Hipkins saying, warns virus will spread more around New Zealand if the government scraps remaining restrictions. So who is this man listening to? Who is this gentleman, so-called, Chris Hipkins, who told us all he was going to come and find all those that weren't vaccinated? Who is he? Who is he listening to? He's listening to the unelected non-government employee, Michael Baker, isn't he? Who does Michael Baker work for? I wonder. Look at this. He's saying that COVID-19 will spread more around New Zealand. Why doesn't he just say the flu? I'm sorry, this is where we are at today. The COVID-19 so-called virus has the same mortality rate as the flu. 0.026. You've got, you know, so that, in other words, you've got a 99.97% chance of survival for most of us. If you are younger than if you're a kid, you've got a 99.99% chance of survival. Okay, and then you've got this article here, again by Stuff. Why free COVID jabs for young people might not be good policy anymore. Well, we know why. It's because it's risky. It offers no benefit but risk. That's why. And then what do you have? Then you've got the pink lady saying the bivalent COVID-19 booster gives added protection. And what an absolute lie. She's been caught out lying, this woman, again. Don't forget, this is the same woman, and that raises a good point. She's the same woman while she's telling everybody, stay in your bubbles, don't leave your home. She got caught, and wear your masks. She got caught at a beach in Parnell with her partner, her girlfriend. Not in her bubble, not social distancing, not wearing a face mask, but having little swimsies at the beach in Parnell. She got caught out. But isn't it funny? And then she got given New Zealander of the Year for violating COVID-19 rules. Did she get a fine? Did she get arrested? Nope. And then you got Chenille Lau, who leads a violent protest against freedom of speech of Posey Parker. And what happened to him? He became Young New Zealander of the Year. Isn't that amazing? Don't you find all of this incredible? Don't you? I do. I find it really, really super incredible. All right, just a quick fire, couple of other issues that I want to quickly cover with you guys. But before I do, I just want to also remind you, don't forget this, I covered this last week. Apology for protest arrest 12 years ago. Who got arrested for protesting and says that should never have happened and took the case to court? And who got an apology and who got $5,000? Chris Hipkins did. He did. In 2000 and, what day was it? 2009. Yeah. And this is the same man that's endorsing me going to jail, a family man without convictions. It's the same man who received an apology for protesting that the police said, and according to police records, it was a violent protest. He got arrested and a bunch of others did, and they all got awarded $150,000 divided by how many people they got arrested. Isn't it an amazing world that we're living in, isn't it? Don't you think? Almost there, guys, almost there. I want to give you an example of what politicians with spine and integrity look like. This is a Dutch member of the European Parliament speaking. Listen to what he has to say here and just compare it against our members of Parliament here. Not one of them have guts. Not one of them have a backbone. Not one of them have integrity.
Voorzitter, de Europese Raad zegt in haar conclusies te werken aan een concurrerende EU. Tegelijkertijd zegt ze 1 miljoen stuks munitie toe aan Oekraïne en juicht ze over de 10 miljoen euro waarmee de Europese Unie het arrestatiebevel voor president Poetin gekocht heeft bij het internationaal strafhof. Geen woord over de gevolgen van de sancties die uitsluitend door het Westen worden gevolgd. Geen woord over het faillissement van grote industrieën en banken. Geen woord over de financiële, economische en militaire superioriteit van het Chinees-Russische blok ten opzichte van de G7. De Europese Raad weet heel goed dat het zonder het goedkope Russische gas en zonder goede handelsbetrekkingen met China er geen sprake kan zijn dat de EU ooit nog concurrerend wordt met wie dan ook. En daarom roep ik de Raad op stappen te zetten richting vrede in het conflict met het Westen, in het conflict dat het Westen aan het verliezen is, richting het opheffen van de sancties die onszelf vernietigen en richting het normaliseren van relaties met Rusland. Ik dank u.
What an amazing...
Grazie, grazie.
Grazie, grazie. Prego, prego. So then you have a good man like him speaking up about this war in the Ukraine. Now, I have discovered two...
Thanks, President.
I've discovered two wonderful... another two members of the European Parliament. This is like Christine Anderson, of course, from Germany. I've discovered two Irish MPEs that I really, really think are amazing. Here's another one. This is Claire Daly. Amazing lady.
Thanks, President. We have just passed the 20th anniversary of the Iraq War, a war where over 1 million people died, where people still grapple with the after effects of the use of depleted uranium, where nobody has been held to account for a country torn apart and a region plunged into chaos. And we have a responsibility to look back and ask, how did it all happen? Well, it happened because the people in power told us over and over things they knew were not true. It happened because a compliant media failed to ask the questions and parroted those lies day after day, beating the drum for a war of aggression dressed up as a battle of democracy against authoritarianism. So now, as another country is torn apart, another region turned into chaos, at this uniquely dangerous phase in world history, we see the same people again, baying for blood, not their own of course, seizing the moral high ground, condemning peace as appeasement, bellowing that the only option is escalation. Well, you really have to ask yourself the question, why in God's name would we believe these liars now? We need peace and we need it now.
Isn't she amazing? Aren't these people amazing? They really are. I'm just in awe of them. I mean, I would like to think I would be just like that. If I'd gone into Parliament, I would love to think I would have been just like that for all of us, honestly. Because, well, in fact, you know what? I will say that I would have been like that. Now, here's another article. Now, you look at the difference between what those politicians are saying, which is about world stability and peace, and listen to what this guy is saying here. This is the House of Representatives speaker in Taiwan. Have a listen to what he says here.
Affairs.
I sign off on all foreign military sales, including weapons to Taiwan. And I promise you, Madam President, we will deliver those weapons.
Who took the opportunity to...
We will deliver those weapons. So the thing is this, is that none of them want to see the... They don't. None of them want to see the war end. They don't. None of them wants to see this war end. And I've been saying this since really after I figured it out, what was going on with Ukraine. I've been saying pretty openly that it's a real war based on false pretenses. Why would they want to generate a war like this? How is it that Zelensky's made $1 billion and brought himself a $36 million mansion in Miami, in Florida? How is it that this war's been generated to cause, you know, market shocks across the world around finances, around energy, oil, food supply, grain supply, fertilizer supply? Why is that? Is it likely that they're trying to push everything into a certain direction to get a response? I think so. I think it's exactly that. But this thing with the war and with Taiwan and China is no good, because if they manage to do that, we're going to be in big trouble. Because if they go to war with China, that means Great Britain, it means all of the NATO, it means Five Eyes, AUKUS, if you want to call it that, the AUKUS alliance, that means New Zealand, Australia, all of them will be wanting to go to war or needing to go to war. And if they go to war with China, what do you think Russia will do? It will seek to consolidate its European foothold and protect its borders by what? Finally pushing back on what Putin calls NATO aggression. But again, do we trust Putin? Not in your life. I believe he's up in on this game up to his eyebrows. I want to finish off with this article today. Dan Wooten on Ardern's cushy new job. And it's going to get worse. For sure it's going to get worse. Why is that? Because she may just become the Secretary General of the UN yet. April 11, I said it. Kiwi journalist Dan Wooten has written a piece in the Daily Mail about Jacinda Ardern and her cushy new job doing some woke wumble stuff for Prince William's climate scam organisation. He is not impressed with Jacinda Ardern or with Prince William. I can only imagine the jubilant scenes behind closed doors at Kensington Palace. The reigning queen of the woke world, Jacinda Ardern, had just picked her side in the increasingly bitter war of the Windsors. Against all odds, and despite a massive schmooze campaign by the Montecito Moners, William and Kate won this apparently prize endorsement over their arch-rivals Harry and Meghan. On the week she quit as an MP in the New Zealand government, leaving the country more divided than ever in its history, Ardern proudly announced she was joining the board of the Prince of William's beloved Earthshot Prize. William even gushed, he was honoured. "I'm hugely grateful," he goes on to say. All of a sudden, it made sense why Ardern had expressed such horror at being used in Harry and Meghan's Netflix show Live to Lead last year, publicly hitting back at the docuseries by saying she wasn't aware of the involvement of the Sussexes when she first agreed to be interviewed. And it just goes on and on and on, on and on. But listen to this. But in the giddy excitement about notching up yet another major victory against his treacherous young brother, I fear William has made his first mistake as Prince of Wales by aligning himself so closely with one of the world's most divisive politicians, and she is. While London's champagne socialists covet the 42-year-old Vogue magazine pin-up because of her strident left-wing views and role as the darling of the globalist elite, supported by the World Economic Forum, that is not how the public see Ardern. As a proud dual citizen of Britain and New Zealand, I've watched with horror from afar as she turned my once united birth country into an authoritarian hellscape during the COVID pandemic, tearing society apart. The small group of Kiwis allowed back into the country were locked in government hotel prisons, slammed for not meeting the standards of the UN Convention on the Crimes Against Torture, while their relatives died in hospitals down the road. And that's what they did. That's what she did. That's what Hipkins did. Anti-science Ardern pursued a dystopian zero COVID policy by locking down millions because of a solitary COVID case in her hermit kingdom. As if that wasn't bad enough, heartless Ardern then proudly boasted about creating a two-tiered society based on COVID vaccine status. What does he mean by that? What does he mean by that? Could it be this? Could it be this? I think so.
You probably don't see it like this. The two different classes of people, if you're vaccinated or if you're unvaccinated, you have all these rights. If you are vaccinated...
That is what it is. So, yep. Yep.
All right. So that's what she meant. She knew what she was saying. She knew what she was doing. There's no doubt about it that she did. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But this is a sad article. So, as if that wasn't bad enough, Heartless then proudly boasted about creating a two-tiered society on COVID vaccine status, eventually sacking teachers, police officers, doctors, pharmacists, and even vets who chose to exercise their right to bodily autonomy. Eventually, those who Ardern shut out of society launched an occupation of the grounds of Parliament, forcing her into a hasty retreat and eventually prompting her resignation. Her constant refrain to be kind didn't fit one bit with the most brutally inhumane lockdown regime outside of China, a country she spent her premiership cozying up to. Ardern's litany of failures on tackling crime, improving race relations, reducing homelessness, improving the economy, eradicating child poverty, as she seemed to become more obsessed with her international celebrity status and future employment than the living standards of New Zealanders. As the master of political spin, Ardern emotionally announced to the world through crocodile tears that she was quitting because she didn't have anything left in the tank, knowing full well she faced an election drubbing from her fed-up citizens later this year. So what did she actually do? What did Ardern actually do? When she resigned, she absconded from responsibility. Normally, when people that have been the leaders of parties and they get resign or they move, they still stay in politics and they work their time through, don't they? Because they have a sense of duty to New Zealand. But not her. Why is that? Why is that? Because she already knew that she had sure employment just ahead of her. She already knows that she will be going for a top job in the UN, if not the very top dog show, in probably 2 years' time from now when the Secretary General role comes up again. So this is a scam of epic proportions, family. And that wraps up our show. It's a lot longer than what this is pretty amazing stuff, isn't it? It's pretty amazing stuff, really, when you look at it. You've got the total onslaught of New Zealand life and decency. We all love our children and kids, don't we? Didn't we grow up in a New Zealand where you could have a different opinion? You could go and protest and not get arrested and threatened with jail. Isn't that the thing? But it's all different today. But it is a game, folks. They're using us against each other. They really are. I don't hate lefty people. I don't like or hate white people. I just want to see people left alone to live in peace without harm, not beaten up, murdered, not belittled, not disallowed to go into shops or something because of a vaccine. This is unbelievable. But be sure, my family, this is going towards a program. This is not by accident. This is just not another phase of human experience. This is going to a certain direction, and this beautiful book here, this Bible here, the King James, knows exactly where it is going. And I'd like to invite you to if you don't have a Bible, let me know. Email me at billy@ibc.net.nz. Come and join my weekly Bible studies. If you would like this book, this will explain to you why the climate change rules, why the climate change tyranny. This is going to be a global issue. It's going to be a global issue. It is the It is the work-free environmental day of rest they're bringing in. And it's coming. It's just around the corner. And when they do that, they will have eradicated God's law. If you want this beautiful book, The Great Controversy, it's free to you. This will give you the geopolitical and religio history and point you back to the prophecies in this, and you'll understand it. You'll understand it well. And then, if you want to, again, get these books. They're free. Billy at ibc.net.nz. Billy at ibc.net.nz. All right, whānau, I better go and have my family worship tonight. They're all waiting for me through that door there. But love to you all. Thank you. Please don't forget to share our petition. Please, we need your help. I'm going to be on international media in the next few days. And but we need your help. And when it goes to appeal court, and again, I'm not allowed to talk about my appeal trial. Hi, Auntie Barb. I'd love for you guys to be there to support Vinny and I. We've been through the mill, guys. Auntie Barb knows us very, very well. And as some of you do as well. And my family and I, we've been through the mill. So guys, if we could get you to support this this campaign, get more and more people, get it out there, I'd be very, very grateful. And I've just put the link in the thread for you, and you can get that very, 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 very easily. But I want to, if possible, I want to be able to take 10,000 plus signatures to my trial, because that'll be a great help. I want to do a survey as well, actually. It just dawned on me to do with my other charges. I've got to think about how to process that. But in all, as we deal with this, let's deal with it with each other. Let's help each other. Let's help the other side see as well. The documentary is going to be a great tool to do that, guys. I'm so excited. I'm like a little child waiting for Christmas Day just to get the first episode out and get it out, and then get the next one out. And the next one is likely to be 3 episodes. We've got 1,800 minutes of interview, and we don't want to waste any of it. So we decided today that we're going to have 3 episodes probably, okay? And we'll get this first one out, and then we'll get the second one out, and it's going to be wicked, as in good wicked, not bad wicked. So please hit the share button of this broadcast tonight. Get the message out there. Please support me if you can. I'd be very, very grateful for your support. Keep me in your prayers as I keep you all in mine. And so, God willing, I will see you tomorrow. Have a good sleep. Have a good rest. And seek the Lord while he can be found, while there is time. For the time is near. Your redemption draweth nigh. Good night, everybody. Pō marie, and God bless.